Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Tuesday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate you being with us. 800-282-2882 on those phones. We got Fauci on Capitol Hill today getting a grilling by Senator Rand Paul, as well as some others, although usually the rest of them ask pretty tame questions or just act as the Fauci PR team, not a surprise. Got some updates for you on those COVID numbers. Plus today, I mean, our guest lineup is phenomenal. We have Senator Ron Johnson coming up in just about 20 minutes. We have Alex Berenson in the third hour of the program, author of Pandemia. And we have Jim Jordan of the great state of Ohio, member of Congress, about some of those Fauci emails. So we have so much to talk to you about. But there is just this public service announcement that I think Clay and I need to make for all of you before we dive into all that news of the day. And we've got a lot to cover. I might even talk about the new district attorney in Manhattan, and turns out some interesting stuff's coming up about him. And I got a Karate Kid story that might blow some minds, Clay.
I blew my mind last night.
It's going to blow some minds here. What a small world we live in, my friends. Karate Kid story. That's some fun stuff coming up for later. I promise you want to stick around for it, though. You'll be like, what? So there is this trend right now of both rewriting history from the Fauciite libs, right? Oh, we never said that. We never said the vaccine would prevent infection and transmission. I mean, and then, of course, we play the clips, and they said it time and time again, and that was the justification for the mandates. But they're trying to gaslight you on a thermonuclear scale. I mean, just going all out with the gaslighting. And then beyond that, they're also now playing this game of, we just discovered something. We just learned. Oh, my gosh, it turns out that some of the numbers are wrong, that there might be far fewer hospitalized and dead from COVID than we had been told. Over at CNN, you have a classic example of this with Jake Tapper and Sanjay Gupta. Suddenly, it's okay to have a discussion about the numbers being inaccurate. Listen to it.
The 40% in some hospitals, 40% of the people who have COVID don't necessarily have problematic COVID. They're there because they got in a car accident. They're there because, right, they bump their head. And they're being included as in the hospital with COVID. That number seems kind of misleading.
Yeah, I agree, Jake. It surprises me that they have not been able to parse out that data more carefully.
All right, so he's agreeing. That's Dr. Sanjay Gupta. Just Clay, before we allow them to get away with this, Elon Musk, May of 2020, Joe Rogan program, play it.
Just to give people better information, definitely diagnosed with COVID or had COVID-like symptoms. We're conflating those two so that one that it looks bigger than it is. Then if somebody dies, was COVID a primary cause of the death or not? I mean, if somebody has COVID, gets eaten by a shark, we find their arm has COVID. It's going to get recorded as a COVID death.
Is that real?
I mean, not
that bad, but heart attacks, strokes,
you get hit by a bus,
cancer.
If you get hit by a bus, go to the hospital and die, and they find that you have COVID, you will be recorded as a COVID death.
Why would they do that, though?
Well, right now, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I mean, it's mostly paved with bad intentions, but there's, some good intentions, paving stones in there, too.
Clay, how are they just figuring out now at CNN what Elon knew a year and a half ago, you knew, I knew? Oh, gosh, worth a discussion.
Not only did we know it, Buck, if you tried to say this on social media, they would try and ban you. I mean, there were ample numbers of stories out there about guys who got shot, murdered, and were recorded as a COVID death. And so that's what's so dishonest about what Jake Tapper and Sanjay Gupta are doing in the discussion that they had that you played. CNN is suddenly seeing the light, so to speak, and they're pretending, oh, look at here. It turns out that every single person who is in a hospital for COVID is not there. They're there, a lot of them, with COVID as opposed to because of COVID. And what this also opens the door for, Buck, is the question of how many of these 800,000 some odd deaths that are recorded as COVID deaths are actually because of COVID. That is, in other words, if COVID had not existed, those people would still be alive. We don't know, But if we're talking about 50-50 in the hospital, that would suggest there's a decent percentage of COVID deaths that are not attributable to COVID. You had hospice and a severe form of cancer, and you died really of the cancer, but you also had COVID at the time of your death. And Buck, the bigger picture here is, why is this happening? And I think what's happening is the Democrats have gone way underwater on COVID. They are massively underwater suddenly with Joe Biden. That was the only thing that was keeping Joe Biden's approval rating in decent position. And now, as we start to pivot and look towards the midterm, there are suddenly going to be contextualizations of the data. Yes, we may have had 1.4 million COVID cases yesterday, which was a massive new high. And we may hit 2 million this week before all is said and done, which, by the way, is certainly a lower number than the actual COVID cases, because many people don't actually report that they got COVID if they're doing a home test, or if you feel poorly at home, you just stay home. You don't know 100% that you had COVID, whether it was a cold, whether it was the flu. And so what's going on, Buck, is, to your point, I think they are attempting to rewrite history, and they are now going to gaslight all of us and try and convince us, oh, this data has changed, when the reality has been, you and I have been talking about this exact data for years now, and CNN is claiming, oh, we just became aware that this existed.
The conspiracy theorists keep getting proven right about every 6 months, you know, as we rolled out vaccine mandates, as we rolled out a vaccine that doesn't stop the spread, despite them saying it did, even though we knew. People can go back and listen. We had Berenson on in July, remember?
Yes.
And we would have discussions about how the vaccine, based on the UK and Israeli data, just doesn't stop the spread very well at all. Now we know that's true. The conspiracy theorists keep being correct. And you and I have also had people writing to us, doctors, some that we know, others that are just saying, hey, I'm a doctor. Can't necessarily verify, but some of the doctors that write in, I know personally.
Yes.
And I know you do too. And they say, this is what's happening in hospitals, but I can't say this publicly because my hospital administrators will fire me. I can't go against the Fauciite narrative because I don't want to not just risk my career, but also then I can't tend to my patients, and there are people who count on me, and I, you know, I got a family to feed, right? Everyone's got their concerns here. Meanwhile, back in, you know, the reality of what we're dealing with, you have the CEO of Pfizer. I mean, you've got to hear this. Two vaccine doses. This is from the CEO. If I had written on Twitter, the vaccine does not work well, a month ago, to stop the spread, we have to keep adding that proviso, because they'll say it stops death and hospitalization. Okay, but that's not what they told us. The initial push for mandates was about spread. Here's the actual Pfizer CEO saying straight up, it doesn't work that well.
We know that the two doses of the vaccine offer very limited protection, if any. The three doses with a booster, they offer reasonable protection against hospitalization and deaths, and less protection against infection. Now, we are working on a new version of our vaccine, the 1.1, that will cover Omicron as well. And, of course, we are waiting to have the final results. The vaccine will be ready in March.
Oh, great. We're going to have a new vaccine in March, Clay. A new vaccine for Omicron. Why would we think that that will be the last one? There's no reason to think that will be the last one.
I mean, this is crazy, Buck. The CEO of Pfizer said that the two-dose vaccine, which the Biden administration is trying to mandate, and which the Supreme Court is now considering whether that mandate is constitutional, the CEO of Pfizer himself said the two-dose version of the vaccine against Omicron provides very limited protection, if any. The actual CEO. And then he's going to tell us, but we're going to have a new shot in March, which the government will also try and mandate, probably, as long as Joe Biden is president. And they say that's going to work. But by the time we get to March, Buck, will likely already be through Omicron. I hope there's not another variant that is also going to rise up in the wake of Omicron. I'm hoping that we'll have so much natural immunity because millions of people are getting Omicron every day. But Buck, what we're talking about is a never-ending cycle of vaccination being distributed by a for-profit drug company based on mandates from your government requiring you to consume their product and therefore make them tens of billions of dollars. This is a scandal of the highest magnitude. And I hope the Supreme Court is paying attention to the current data. I question whether they are, because we saw what Sotomayor said, what Breyer said, and they were just so far outside the bounds of understanding COVID. But what the CEO of Pfizer just said, Buck, don't make no mistake about this, is that the United States government is mandating a two-shot vaccine that has no impact, very limited protection, if any, against COVID. So how in the world can 84 million people out there be mandated to get a vaccine that the CEO of the company that created the vaccine says offers very little protect, very limited protection, if any?
If they were to switch, and I think this is the big problem, this is my worry going into this year, obviously with the midterm election, so there's a huge political dynamic that's added into things. If they were to do what we've been advocating for a long time, since before you and I teamed up on this show, and we had our own respective shows, which was the focus protection that was described in the Great Barrington Declaration, which, of course, the corporate Democrat media buried,
attacked,
as far underground as they possibly could, attacked, undermined. If they did that, and we could all then see, well, it's basically working, and it probably would have worked all along, then there would be this recognition of, what the heck was all this masking and social distancing and Lysol your groceries and put up the plexiglass dividers and mask up between bites? All of this lunacy. To anybody who still has a functioning brain, they would say, why the heck did they put the experts and Fauci and the rest put us through all this stuff? We could have just done what we basically do for flu, which is protect those who are vulnerable, get them the shot. You know, they keep saying, oh, the unvaccinated are so much more likely to. Well, if we had gotten every single senior over 65 vaccinated based on their numbers, what would the death count actually be over the last 6 months? I'd be very curious to see that mathematical extrapolation, because we know from the data, very few people who are under the age of 65 are at a real risk of mortality from this, unless they have a risk of mortality from any number of viruses because they have essentially a non-functioning immune system. Or, you know, you could also look at, I think it's Professor Ioannidis from, I'm sorry, I never could get, that's one name I could never get. It's
yeah,
a tough
that's
one.
A tough one to pronounce. I think he's at Stanford, right?
Yeah, Stanford University, who from the very beginning, he looked at the, what was it, the Princess Cruise Line ship?
Yes.
Which was essentially a COVID petri dish and said, look what the mortality of this really is. If you're under 20, the most recent study from this professor, Ioannidis, who's been right all along, by the way, about essentially all mortality data. If you're under 20, the chance of you dying from you have a 99.99987% chance of surviving this. I mean, this is now getting into, I won't leave my house as a 20-year-old because I'm afraid a brick is going to strike me in the forehead and kill me territory, which does happen, by the way, but no one worries about it. And that's what we've been turned into as a society.
If you're under 20, you're far more likely to be murdered or die in a traffic accident, college age kid, than you are to die of COVID, even if you get it. By the way, now's the time to save yourself some big money each month. And it really isn't difficult to make it happen. Just refi your mortgage. Even with all the talk and all the advertising about lower interest rates, only a third of homeowners have taken the time to investigate whether they can save big money. You're not alone if you haven't moved on this money saving idea. But now's the time. Before rates go any higher, you can make up to, for your family, $1,000 in monthly savings. Think about $12,000 a year and what could happen for you. You could even skip two mortgage payments, allow you to defray the cost and put your financial house back in order. And you can close in as fast as 10 days. All you have to do is call Buck. What's the number?
American Financing, folks. I've used them. Amazing customer service, seamless process, great rates. They care about saving you money. 800-777-8109. That's 800-777-8109. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net. American Financing, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Hope all of you are having a fantastic Tuesday. We were just talking about the crazy upside-down world that we now live in. Possibility the Supreme Court's going to issue a ruling whether or not they're going to grant a stay on the Biden vaccine mandate of 84 million people. But right now, it's worth conceptualizing what the Supreme Court is being asked to endorse in many ways. And it's the power of Joe Biden to mandate almost all of you get a COVID vaccine that the CEO of Pfizer himself is saying isn't working. And if you're out there saying, well, at least we've got nine of the smartest people on the planet who are Supreme Court justices to analyze the data, as we talked about with you on Friday, Sonia Sotomayor, the Supreme Court justice, said that there was over 100,000 kids in severe health issues, many of them on ventilators, which is 100 billion% not true. But truth doesn't matter in our post-truth world. One of the idiot hosts of The View decided that she needed to defend Supreme Court Justice Sotomayor. This is Sunny Hostin. I'm not even sure what her last name is, defending that completely not true statement made by Justice Sotomayor because her narrative was right. Listen.
Well, first, I just want to reframe this a little bit about Justice Sotomayor, because while, you know, she may not be accurate for current hospitalizations in children, she is correct that we have more children in the hospital now more than ever before. And it certainly reflects the current cases in children. Right now, we have 82,843 children sick with COVID. More than 1,000 children have died from the virus. And in addition, about 7.8 million children have caught COVID since the pandemic started. And so those are just the numbers. And so while fewer than 83,000 kids have been hospitalized with the virus, we have kids sick with COVID more than we ever have before. And so that's a real thing. And those are real numbers.
There's so much wrong that it's not enough to just say it's wrong, Clay. There's so many things. First of all, this would be like saying, you know, if you owed me $5, then I run saying you owed me $10 million.
Yes.
This is not, it's not, oh, well, I said he owes me money. The scale is the whole point, right? The scale of the problem is how you're deriving policy solutions one way or the other. And first of all, the 1,000 children have died. That's not even true. That's not what the numbers are. The numbers of cases of kids, this thing bounces off them for the most part. 99% of them. And yet here we are. It's crazy.
And Buck, the actual numbers for people out there, there's around 3,000 kids currently hospitalized with COVID. That means, you know, there are tons of kids, I wish it didn't happen, hospitalized with all sorts of illnesses all over the country. But there are only 3,000 kids right now hospitalized with COVID. Most of those cases are not remotely severe because, as we talked about earlier, they're there with COVID, not because of COVID. There might not be 100 kids right now in the whole United States that are severely hospitalized with COVID.
Do you remember when we used to actually care about serology testing for natural immunity? It lasted about 3 months for this pandemic from the health authorities. The percentage of children that have already been exposed to COVID, if we got a real number, would blow people's minds.
No doubt. You know what also blow people's minds? How much money you can save with the right cell phone deal. You can get hooked up right now with Pure Talk. All you have to do is recognize they use the same towers, exact same 5G network as all of those big companies that spend tons of money supporting left-wing causes. You can spend your money with a U.S. veteran-run business, entire team of employees for Pure Talk, all here in the U.S., and you can save as much as half of what your current cell phone bill is. How do you sign up? Get your cell phones right now. Dial #250, say Pure Talk, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. Dial #250, say Pure Talk. That's #250.
Welcome back into the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We have with us now Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. Senator Johnson, always great to have you, sir.
Well, guys, hope you're doing well.
Let's just start with this. You know, you have some colleagues up on Capitol Hill this morning getting testimony from Rochelle Walensky, double masked, I might add. Dr. Fauci, masked when he's not answering, unmasked when he is answering. They're trying to tell us and convince the public that they pretty much expected all this. They're in control. They have the answers. What do you think? Because it really is actually up to the political apparatus to make these decisions, and Fauci shouldn't be calling all the shots as the policies are.
Well, Fauci is science. So I know we're not supposed to question him at all, but I mean, let's face it, guys. 835,000 Americans dead. We still have really no approved early treatments from those clowns, and I that's being kind to them. That has been the greatest travesty. When there literally is a cornucopia of drugs, cheap, generic, widely available drugs that is effective. It's not just ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. There's a host of others. There's different stages to this disease. And so there are doctors that have had the courage and compassion to treat COVID, had more doctors had their eyes opened, had these agencies led and researched and recommended these drugs, hundreds of thousands of Americans would be alive today. They didn't have to die. So that's the real travesty. And I hold Fauci and the Biden administration and Collins and Walensky, I hold them accountable for that. And oh, by the way, the other thing they're ignoring, natural immunity plus vaccine injuries. The Veyers report, this is their data, not mine. The Veyers report, we've seen a million adverse events on the COVID vaccines. 21,382 deaths reported on Veyers associated with the vaccines. Now, again, it doesn't prove causation, but it's something they ought to be concerned about, and they're not. So they haven't been transparent. They haven't been honest. Their response to COVID has been a miserable failure. The lost learning, the human toll, the economic devastation of their shutdowns, no, they're not the science. Science questions. Science is skeptical. Science is always searching for better answers. They haven't. They've had one solution to this. Vaccine, vaccine, vaccine. I know it's put a lot of money in Big Pharma's pockets. The other solutions now are going to be, I hope, by the way, these drugs work. I have my doubts. But the therapies now that they're promoting, Pfizer and Merck's, $500 and $700 a pop versus, again, the cheap generic drugs, they have not had solutions. Their response has been a miserable failure. They should be held accountable.
Senator Johnson, you're running for re-election. Thank you for doing that. I think the people of Wisconsin need your voice. Would you be running for re-election if COVID hadn't happened? Or do you think the dishonesty that you have seen from COVID since 2020, because I think your initial plan was to retire, has that been one of the prompting reasons why you feel the need to continue?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. That's a really big factor. Again, the dishonesty, the lack of transparency of these agencies, but it's just the loss of confidence, the legitimate loss of confidence we have in these institutions, whether it's the FBI and their corrupt investigation, the Department of Justice, now their health agencies, the legacy media, big tech, social media that has censored early treatment. No, I mean, and just basically Democrat governance. I mean, I actually appreciated President Biden in his inauguration saying his number one goal was healing and unifying this nation. He hasn't done that. Just about everything he's done has further divided this nation. So, you know, when I ran in 2016, America looked completely different. Now, it really does feel like this nation is being torn apart. And I'm in a position where I think I can help improve things, make America safer, more secure. That, in the end, is why I decided to run again, because I think I can help improve things.
Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin with us now, and as we just discussed, he is running for re-election. Senator Johnson, do you think that some of your Democrat colleagues on the Senate are starting to recognize that what has been done up to this point is, in fact, heavy-handed, often counterproductive, and often ineffective when it comes to the Fauciite regime? Do you think that there's an awakening, given the massive failure of the vaccines to stop the spread? That's a separate issue than individual protection. Are Democrats starting to, even quietly behind closed doors, say to you, we might need to start to figure out a way to stop panicking all the time? Or do they view this as too politically useful?
I haven't seen it. Again, they're all walking around with masks, even if they're double vaxxed plus boosted or even had the disease. Now, I don't wear a mask unless I'm absolutely forced to because I had COVID and I feel well. If I didn't feel well, first of all, I wouldn't be walking around. I'd stay home. I wouldn't expose people to whatever I have. But no, I don't see that in terms of Democrats, in terms of coming to the reality that this response has been a miserable failure. And maybe we should have promoted things like early treatment that could have saved lives.
Senator Johnson, what are you seeing from the data? I remember when you were on with us before, like maybe a month ago or so, you talked about who was dying with COVID in the UK, the vaccinated people. There's better data out of the UK and out of Israel, which is an indictment of our CDC and also our scientific institutions in general. What are the latest numbers that you are seeing and reviewing? I'm sure you saw CNN suddenly say, oh, it turns out a lot of people are hospitalized with COVID as opposed to because of COVID. What's the data look like in Israel and the UK?
Well, let's just take a look at America's, you know, death per 100,000. We're at about 248 as of about a week ago. 284 people per 100,000 have died. In Sweden, remember everybody attacked Sweden? It's 148. 100 deaths less per 100,000 than in America. And by the way, their kids all went to school. They didn't wear masks. Not 1.8 million Swedish children, not one died from COVID. We've had 520 million doses of the vaccine. 208 million Americans are fully vaxxed, and the pandemic's not over. Does that tell you something? We have reports out of Denmark where you actually have potentially reverse efficacy, negative efficacy, after about 90 days with the vaccine. So the doctors I've been in touch with since the beginning have always been concerned about mass vaccination in the midst of a pandemic. Could that be driving variants that evade the vaccine? What's happening? You know, there is so much we still don't know about the coronavirus, the vaccines, and COVID as a disease. I would urge modesty in terms of what people, all their pronouncements, and quite honestly, it would urge caution as well. You know, nobody can tell you the long-term safety profile of the vaccines. Nobody can. And when you have these type of safety signals on VAERS to keep pushing this on children, when we do know, the science does tell us, they have an incredibly small risk, an almost no risk of serious injury or death from COVID, and yet we're pushing an experimental vaccine on our children, there's something really wrong about that. You know, for the vulnerable, listen, I'm the champion of Right to Try. I'm not anti-vax. I was a big supporter of Operation Warp Speed, but then you have to look at what the result is. And the result is not what we wanted to see. It's not as effective. It's not as safe. It would urge caution. Where's the caution coming out of the Biden administration, out of Fauci, out of Walensky, out of Collins? There is none. They've had a single approach to this. Vaccine, vaccine, vaccine. Or whatever will put a lot of money in Big Pharma's pockets. You know, everything else they're pushing are novel, expensive drugs, and they've completely ignored cheap, generic, widely available drugs. This has been a travesty. This is a scandal.
Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. Senator, appreciate you joining us here on Clay and Buck. Thanks so much.
Can I mention my website, ronjohnsonforsenate.com? I'm going to need a lot of help. ronjohnsonforsenate.com.
There we go. Thanks again,
Senator. Good luck in the election, sir. Thanks for running.
Take care.
Too many Americans suffer from chronic pain, that everyday experience of waking up with pain that comes as a result of aging, exercise, overexertion, or just everyday living. There's a solution, though, and a proven one at that. It's called Relief Factor. Created by doctors and perfected over 15 years of scientific research, Relief Factor was made for you. With four key ingredients, Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free product which addresses joint pain, knee, hip, back, neck, and shoulder pain. Hundreds of thousands of people have ordered Relief Factor, and about 70% of them go on to order more. This program and this product has gotten more letters and more emails from people who have found real success as a result of using Relief Factor each day. If you're currently in pain and you have a 7 in 10 chance to eliminate it, those are pretty fantastic odds, right? Plus, what do you have to lose? Clay, how do they get hooked up?
You can join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you. That's relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor. Feel the difference. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Buck, we got an interesting story that's going to be playing out here a little bit after we go off the air today. Joe Biden is traveling to Georgia to talk about his attempt to get new voting bills passed through the Senate by ending the filibuster. Now, of course, at least ending the filibuster for purposes of changing these laws, which we talked about yesterday, I believe, the odds of these being legal constitutional and upheld based on recent Supreme Court jurisprudence as it pertains to state rights to manage federal elections, very low. But they're trying to send the message that after they dragged Biden across the finish line, that it's a fundamental threat to our democracy, that all these states went back and said, hey, let's avoid the chaos that existed in the 2020 election when basically all the rules got changed. Well, it's interesting because Georgia is going to be a battleground. And we've talked about this, Buck, where Stacey Abrams might have an interesting opportunity here, because if Biden's not going to run in 24, then Kamala Harris would have to be the nominee. Otherwise, it would be racist or sexist of the Democrats to not pick a black woman based on their entire party platform, which is everything is racist. She would clearly be the next person up for that job. So Stacey Abrams said that she did not have time. She had a schedule conflict, so she's not going to be at Joe Biden's speech that he is doing in Georgia. She's running for governor again. What do you think about this, Buck? Is this a sign that Stacey Abrams maybe is angry that Joe Biden didn't pick her as a nominee? Certainly, I think at minimum is a sign that his overall approval ratings in the state of Georgia are really low, and she doesn't want to be photographed with him or videoed with him. What's going on here?
I think there is an understanding that Joe Biden right now doesn't bring much in the way of upside. He served his purpose, Clay. We've talked about it here before. To be a guy that people knew who was, because he was so mediocre, but also so known, he was somewhat non-threatening at a time when the country had gone through the maximum, not just the actual problems of the COVID virus, but then the mountains of unnecessary fear and anxiety piled on top of that. So Biden served his purpose then. No one watches Joe Biden now and says, yeah, I want that guy pushing for me. No one views Joe Biden and says, this is somebody who is going to have a political capital that will transfer to my aspirations. And that's what I think this really is right now. Why? I mean, we can answer the question pretty obviously. What would Stacey Abrams gain right now from having Joe Biden so close to her on an issue like this, when really people are already talking about how maybe she steps into the limelight, so to speak, herself? Maybe she all of a sudden becomes, which is amazing. She's never even won a statewide office. Right?
I know
she's
right.
She's the fake governor of Georgia, but that doesn't actually count.
And she wasn't even that close, Buck. She lost by 50,000 votes. So she's continued to refuse to concede, but she's trying to run again as the governor. I just think it's an incredible indictment of where Biden is as the leader of the Democratic Party right now, that he's going to Georgia, and the most famous, I would say, Georgia politician, even though, to your point, Buck, she hasn't actually won an election. I think people recognize her name more than they recognize Ossoff or Warnock, who are the two guys who ended up getting elected to the Senate. And it's a sign of how toxic Joe Biden is that she won't even appear with him in the back backyard there of her state.
Can I do a little quick change of pace here for a second, Clay, to bring up something that we've had a little discussion about? And that is, our producer, Allie, told us yesterday on our Karate Kid discussion that her name, because what was it again that he says?
Used to be Alice. Allie was so popular from Karate Kid that now she becomes Allie.
She becomes Allie.
Yes.
Well, it was pointed out to me from their Sexton family lore, and we have the video proof, folks, that my mother appeared in a Bubble Yum commercial with none other than Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid, in 1981. Okay,
This is amazing. You shared the video with us last night.
It's phenomenal. If you go to clanbuck.com, we actually have the video up. You can see my mom in a commercial that ran nationally across America with the Karate Kid in 1981. She's the redhead on the left when it starts. I think she's the only redhead in it. And small world, Clay.
What was the height of your mom's acting career?
Oh, man, she was...
Bubblicious commercial
Jane Sexton,
is...
my mom, was in a movie, a Hallmark movie of the week called Summer of My German Soldier, I believe it was called. She was also in a commercial with Jason Alexander before
Seinfeld
yeah. fame, but she was in a commercial with him. But the best that we have for today is the Bubble Yum commercial with Ralph Macchio. So my mom was in a commercial with the Karate Kid.
Did you not right remember that the Karate at Kid. All when we had that conversation yesterday?
My sister reminded me yesterday, my little sister. She sent me the video. It's on YouTube. So we have it up on clanbuck.com now, though. So if you want to see, it's pretty remarkable. What a small world it really is, Clay. You never know the connections that are out there.
Well, maybe she can come back on the, Cobra Kai show. They bring back a lot of, sterling participants from Macchio and Johnny's life. I mean, maybe your mom could have an ability to come back on the show.
Of all the characters they've brought back, not including obviously Johnny and the Karate Kid himself, who are you the most,
I'm only on season one, but I loved the mom coming back. Right? Like when the mom, I thought the Karate Kid mom was pretty fantastic. So I don't know, spoiler alert, who else is going to be coming back. But I loved when she showed up.
I mean, I'm assuming you've seen, I'm sorry if I'm spoiling, Clay, but you're too far behind here. When John Kreese comes back, it's
amazing. I knew he came back.
Yeah. I mean, he steals the show sometimes. He is so good as the bad guy. He's almost like Hans Gruber in Die Hard level good as a bad guy.
Poor Hans Gruber. We just lost him in the last year or so, right?
R.I.P. Yeah. Alan Rickman was his name, the actor.
Yeah,
so
that's
we
right.
have coming up here, Ted Cruz, Clay. You're going to lead us into this one. Asks about FBI informants at January 6th when it actually happened, not the anniversary of. Doesn't get an answer. We've also got the formation of a new DOJ unit looking into domestic terrorism. Got some things to unpack with you. Clay's going to lead us in just a moment.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.